when Miss Maimon leaned forward. I learned Hebrew from a stinky teacher. Her name was Miss Maimon, not Mrs. Maimon, not Ms. Maimon, and not even Giveret Maimon at the Yeshiva of Central Queens. I'm guessing she was in her 30s when I had her in fifth grade. People whispered about her that she wasn't married. She was spiked of hair, gapped of tooth, forward of gait, crinkled of eye, overhung of waist, colossal of bosom, and odoriferous of body. I picture her always in maroon and tan, which, considering she was probably also meager of salary, meant she wore the same clothes a lot. But the stink, full-on stink, it persisted, it persevered, it prevailed. The stink clung to her like a mantle, the opposite of an invisibility cloak. It heralded her arrival a few moments before she actually arrived and allowed her legacy to linger long after she left the classroom to get yet another styrofoam cup of coffee. The stink was legendary. My cousin Judy had Miss Maimon years before me, and her father, my Uncle Max, remembering, declared, "When Miss Maimon leaned forward, the whole class leaned back." Fifth grade was a big year for me. I got glasses, and I realized that my best friend, Tamar, was not only prettier than me, which I knew, thinner than me, which I also knew, but smarter than me too, and she didn't need glasses. She was Miss Maimon's pet. This no one knew until the end of the year, when Miss Maimon was handing out kochavim, stars, for Best in Chumash, Bible, Tamar, kochav, Best in Navi, the Prophets, Tamar, kochav, Best in Dinim, Laws of the Holidays, Tamar, kochav, Best Hebrew Handwriting, Tamar, kochav, Best Davener, Most Pious Person at Morning Prayers, who didn't stand in the back and schmooze like I did. Tamar, kochav! I got the creativity kochav, take that Tamar, and we both got kochavim, stars, for the number one most important thing in Miss Maimon's class, speaking Hebrew. Speaking Hebrew didn't mean just answering questions in Hebrew. In Miss Maimon's class, you had to speak Hebrew the entire time, from the second you got there in the morning. You hung up your jacket in Hebrew. You sat down at your desk in Hebrew. You went to the bathroom in Hebrew, Beit Shimush in those days. If you spoke to another kid in the hallway, or if you dropped your pencil, slicha, sorry, it was all in Hebrew. Till Hebrew was over for the day, and Mrs. Cohen, the English teacher, made her appearance at lunch. The hardest part was morning recess. Fifth grade was the last year my yeshiva was in Jamaica, Queens. The neighborhood was getting scuzzy, and a successful capital campaign had purchased a brand new building in Kew Gardens Hills, the epicenter of Queens Jewry, near Shimon's Pizza Place, Gift World Judaica, and Brach's Glatt Kosher Emporium. Meantime, we played Ringolivio, running amongst the tall maples and the hunched dealers across the street from school in what the New York Times was calling Needle Park. Ringolivio was always banim neged banot, boys against girls, and the biggest thrill was being the last girl uncaught. I still remember taking my hand off base and starting that run to save all the girls in jail and having every single boy in the class start chasing me in Hebrew. Nowadays, teachers would never allow boys to catch and hold girls like that, and certainly not in yeshiva, not even if they spoke Hebrew the whole time. Miss Maimon kept a watchful ear, and at the end of her half of the day, right before lunch, she would go through the entire class, kid by kid, and ask if he or she spoke Hebrew the entire time. It would have been an honor system, but this being fifth grade, there were plenty of snitches. Tamar, of course, was unsnitchable, and usually so was I, but there was one day where I spoke one word, only one word of English, because the boy behind me put something gross down the back of my shirt during class and I turned around and said one word in English. When my turn to be honest came, I said, Mila, meaning one word. And she made one of those exasperated smiles and gave me the day anyway. That's probably where my creativity star came from. Most of the kids were Tov and not Ra, good and not bad, except for the time one scientifically minded boy took advantage of Miss Maimon's coffee habit and developed an imperceptible liquid diuretic and managed to slip it in when she was earnestly teaching us about the portable tabernacle that our ancestors schlepped through the Sinai desert. The whole class held its breath as she finally took a sip of her poisoned coffee and immediately ran out to the Beit Shimush. We waited till the classroom door slammed shut behind her to let go in unhinged ululation, howling and screeching, slapping the heroic scientist on the back and exulting in our triumph. All in Hebrew. Not too raw, not too bad at all. When my boys were in yeshiva, they were way better at prayer than I ever was and learned to lain to chant the Torah with the proper musical cantillations. But they would answer only kain or lo, yes or no, to questions in Hebrew. They never really spoke it. I even tried to instigate a family all-Hebrew Friday night dinner. Ra, mommy, they said. Bad idea. And then, about 30 years after fifth grade, Srili and I got hired to play a big concert for the Hebrew school at a fancy synagogue in Manhattan. It was a packed auditorium, and we played klezmer music and sang songs in Yiddish and Hebrew. The concert was almost over when I saw someone familiar in the back of the room. It was too far to get the full sense of her, but it was definitely her. Same spiked hair, same gapped smile, same everything. I finished the song. I held up my hand, and there was quiet. Then I said to all the Hebrew school kids in the audience, slowly, clearly, loudly, and in Hebrew, if you can understand every word I am saying to you now, it's because you have a fabulous teacher, the same fabulous teacher I had in fifth grade, who really taught me to speak Hebrew and to whom I will be grateful my whole life. I looked at her across the auditorium. Toda rabba, I said. Thank you very much. She came up to the stage afterwards and hugged me. Bevakasha, she said, beaming that gap-toothed smile. You're welcome. And for the life of me, I don't remember smelling anything raw at all.